Rishus Marina Rapshlita. Yeah, I say this Shaila Iloy Nishmas Maras Chasa Basra Menachem Mendel HaKohen, Howard's mother Zechrono Livrocha, and her Neshama should have an Aliyah. If you look at the website of Chabad in Anchorage, Alaska, it will show that their times of davening over Shabbos and the time that Shabbos went out last night or this morning, and it says, well, it is still Shabbos there, isn't it? No, yes. Yeah. So it says that Shabbos goes out at 1:20 a.m. Sorry, midnight is 1 or 1:10, and you add a few minutes for Tosefta's Shabbos, and so it says nightfall is 1:20. And the question is, what do you do when you are in areas of the Arctic Circle? Anchorage is not quite in the Arctic Circle, it's about 300 miles south of it, so they do get a bit of darkness at this time of the year. But tomorrow being the 21st of June, the longest day of the year, and the summer solstice, is a time when even here in London, the sky is not properly dark like it is in the winter. The sun does not seem to go down far. We use the expressions of sunrise and sunset. We know that the sun doesn't really move, it's the earth which is rotating on its axis. And we know that it hardly gets dark in many northern parts of the hemisphere. Even London does not get so dark, and people who keep to Rabbeinu Tam, where the sun goes down 16.1 degrees, are unable to make Havdalah till after midnight, because the sun hasn't gone down that far. And I once had an uncle, Brian Posen, a friend of Rocha, who would not come to the telephone on Motzei Shabbos in the summer until that late hour. And to understand just the basics, because we won't have a proper geography lesson, we've got here the globe, and the earth is at a tilt when it rotates. Well, it revolves around the sun and it rotates on its axis, to use the exact words. And it's at a tilt so that this area at the top, which is called the Arctic Circle, some 66.5 degrees, that area is always facing the sun during the summer, and it's always facing away from the sun in the winter. Similarly, the South Pole is in contrast to that, the other way around. So the South Pole now during the summer has total darkness. And the more north you get towards the North Pole, the longer that period of constant daylight is. So at the North Pole properly, you will have 6 months of sunlight. As you just go a bit more south, then you'll have short periods of darkness. And that's the way it carries on until you get south of the Arctic Circle, when you will have actually the sun setting below the horizon. But even when the sun sets below the horizon, you won't get a proper darkness in many of these northern towns. And so nowadays it's not such an impractical question, because people do go on kosher tours now to Alaska and to Antarctica. There is an observation point in the South Pole where Jewish scientists have been stationed. Apparently a minion was once made there. Even though there are no actual habitable towns in the South Pole, in the North Pole there are. So you've got areas such as north of Canada, Greenland, Scandinavia, Russia and Alaska finding themselves within the Arctic Circle. The northernmost town in the world is located on the Svalbard Islands north of Norway, which is a place called Longyearbyen or something like that. And the sun remains above the horizon from the 20th of April right through till the 25th of August. And so that midnight sun is visible for over 4 months. And then between the 27th of October and 15th of February, the sun never peaks above the horizon. And in a place called Alert Nunavut in Canada, the sun doesn't set for almost 5 months of the year. So it's a practical question as far as the halacha is concerned. When do we keep Shabbos? How do you manage with your davening? And there are other obvious attached questions to that. Beg your pardon?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Well, we might find out a bit about that as well, yes. But there are other related questions. When a woman prepares to mikvah, how does she count 7 days? There are questions which abound all around. Now, the famous Rav in 1886, Rav Simcha Levi Bamberger, actually had a son who was travelling on business to the Arctic Circle, and he asked his father what should he do, and his father said, avoid it. And I do remember in my childhood that a former member of the shul, I should say a former gabba and board of management member of the shul, Nathan Merrill, once went on business to Finland, and he specially left the country for Shabbos in order that he's not there when it was constant daylight, so he would be somewhere where it's got both night and day. Having said that, there are a number of interesting poskim who write on the subject, and we're going to have a look at those. There is a Gemara Yerushalmi, which is quoted by one or two, in the Sefer Pesachim, which talks about when Noach went into the Teva. When he went into the ark, he didn't know when it was night and when it was day, because it was constant darkness, probably with the thick clouds. And how did he know when it was night or day? Because there were certain animals which he had to feed, which only ate either in night time or in daytime. And it was quite a full-time job having to feed the whole animal kingdom. And so he had with him some precious stones. And when it was night time, they were shining more. When it was daytime, they looked more dim. And this is in fact quoted by the Shalosh Ketuvos Divrei Yosef and the Shutz Rav Palim, who was the Ben Ish Chai, to ask, you know, how do we determine night and day when you've got no visible signs of night and day? So this Shutz Divrei Yosef, he talks about the Pikud Rabbi Eliezer. In there, in Perek Nun Beis, he quotes Yoshua chapter 10, verse 13, when the sun stood still because of the problem of Shabbos coming on when there was a war going on. And Yoshua davened that it shouldn't become Shabbos yet. Alright, there are lots of questions. You can fight on Shabbos if they're stuck on a sephoshes and so on, but Yeshua davened that the sun stood still, and it's fixed still for 24 hours, and the sun was shining non-stop for 36 hours. And according to that, it was considered one long day, which means that a day is not 24 hours. Or do we say that was simply a nace, and it was an unusual occurrence, and in a natural world, there is a 24-hour day? Or do we say no? When there is 24-hour day, it's because there is night and there is daylight. But if there is no darkness and there is no light, contrasting with each other, maybe the day is longer than 24 hours. Maybe the day might be 36 hours. Maybe the day lasts for 6 months. What do we do? And so that is how the questions come arise. And then, if Shabbos is not identifiable in a place in the North Pole, maybe you just identify with somewhere nearby, or further away, a place where you come from, and you keep Shabbos according to those times. On the other hand, the Pasuk in Vayikra, chapter Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Gimel says that Shabbos Hil Hashem b'chol moshvo seichem, you keep Shabbos according to where you are. We don't keep Shabbos here according to the times of Jerusalem or New York, we keep Shabbos according to the times of London. So, b'chol moshvo seichem means according to where you are. So do we go according to the place that you are, or do we go according to the person, as though Shabbos is a chovas haguf, in contrast to the chova of the place? Those are the questions we're going to explore. And we're going to start off with a view expressed by Rav David Luria, the Hagos Radal, and also the Munkat Sharov, who was called the Minchas Elozor. Rav David Luria said that there are places in the world which have long days without proper darkness, and they are all considered like one long day. So he said that when it doesn't get dark, then it stays one long day. And this was a view adopted by the Minchas Elozor, the Munkat Sharov, who was a very well-known, respected Rav. He was considered about my face, and non-Jewish people consulted him. The Queen of Holland consulted him with her problems, and we might talk about that next time. But the situation with the Minchas Elozor was that he said, look, if you arrive in the Arctic Circle on a Friday afternoon, and it gets dark, let's say in the month of May the 15th, so you arrive on May the 15th and it gets dark and Shabbos comes in, and then the sun doesn't set the following day and it doesn't set till September. He said it's one long Shabbos. He said your Shabbos will last for several months. Can you imagine the children not getting burnt when it's standing on the blech for that long? Can you imagine not being able to launder your clothes for that period of time? He said it's one long Shabbos because it doesn't get dark. And when then it gets dark again, then you should make up Avdalah. Shabbos is over a few months later. And this is a teshuvah in the Minchas Elazar, and that was his view. So, because of this, as well as other doubts concerning times like davening, I mean, are you going to say you're only going to daven Shacharis and later fill in once in a period of a few months? So he says it's advisable one shouldn't really live in or visit these locations during such months when you don't have night and day. That is the view of the Minchas Elazar. And then we come to a number of views who approach the whole subject as though a day is 24 hours. And it's a struggle though. Rav Yaakov Endel was probably the first one on this, and in the Maror Katziah he discusses the idea of keeping Shabbos as a period of 24 hours. Because the earth rotates on its axis over a period of 24 hours, facing the sun. Even if it doesn't get dark, that rotation on the axis is 24 hours. And of course you'll add a little bit before and a little bit afterwards for Tosefes Shabbos. 15 minutes either way. And he is in fact quoted by the Shari Tshuva in Siman Shin Mem Dalet Sifalov, so that gives him more credibility, I suppose, in the eyes of many. And he says, look, if there is six periods, he starts off from the Gemara, which says that if you're lost in the wilderness, in a desert, and you don't know when Shabbos is, what do? You count 6 days, and then the seventh day you keep Shabbos. Alright, there in the desert you've got night and day. Okay, so you count according to those periods, night and day, 24 hours, and then you keep Shabbos. But there, the Gemara is really talking about when you're in a position of sofek, when you simply don't know when Shabbos is. At least when you go to the Arctic Circle, you know what day of the week it is. Whereas the Gemara that he's quoting doesn't even know, you don't know what day of the week it is. So you count 6 days, and the seventh day you keep Shabbos. And even then, it's like a zecher of Shabbos. It's not really Shabbos proper, but it's like a dim d'rabbanon, but you don't know when Shabbos is. Here, you know when the rest of the world is keeping Shabbos. Alright, stretching from Hawaii, Honolulu, right through the other side of the world, New Zealand and so on. We have discussed the dateline in the past, and the subject does overlap a bit with this one. So, the problem with this is that there is no local time according to him. He's just saying you fix your own time. Yes?
Going back to the previous view, as you go further north, you'd be going through various time zones where it got dark. Well, sorry, it first got light on Shabbat, then it got light on Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday. But where are the boundaries? You'd
right.
be impossible to know where the boundaries where it suddenly became, where it.
Yes, it's a gradual process, you're quite right. As you go north, and we'll perhaps conclude with that, but the general principle is that when you do have night and day, when the sun does dip below the horizon, even though it's not properly dark, that will be called the end of the day, and then you might have a situation where you have 1 hour of proper daylight where the sun is above the horizon, and in that 1 hour, you will do Shacharis, Mincha and Maariv. And, you could go to shul literally and do all three together. Because by the time you finish your shacharis, it'll be midday. You might even be past midday, because midday is halfway through that 1 hour. Right? Mm-hmm. And then you're able to daven mincha after midday. Well, it's half an hour after midday, but, b'dieved you could start at chatzos. And then you're already up to plug a mincha, so you can daven maariv even before it gets dark, and you can do all three together. So, that saves on the Tircha d'Tzibura, I suppose. But, so you will confine it into that small space of time. Similarly, if you only have 1 hour of darkness, then you can say your Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, which might be a very difficult thing to do when you've got total daylight. You'll say your Maariv after Plag HaMincha, because you can daven Maariv before nightfall, but you haven't got a nightfall. So it will be working out in the various stages to look at these views. But certainly, according to Minchas Elazar, once the sun dips below the horizon, then that is the end of the day. Even though it doesn't go down that deeply. It's a shkia, that's something to go by. But if it doesn't go down below the horizon, then there's nothing to go by, and he says it's a constant day. So that young Rav Yaakov Emden, we've discussed about counting the 6 days, and his view is a bit similar, but not the same, with the Tiferet Yisrael. The Tiferet Yisrael, Rav Lipschitz, whose commentary you'll find in the Yochin of Oaz, Ayin Aleph Mishnayis, at the end of the first Perek of Brachos, he writes about this problem. The Tiferes Yisrael Rav Lipschitz was the Rav of Danzig, now called Gdansk, in the north of Poland. And he had shilas from many Jewish fishermen who went whaling up within the Arctic Circle itself. Whaling was a popular profession, given the oils which were derived, and so a practical shaila had resulted from this. And he says that really you are unable to identify proper times for davening and for Shabbos, so he says you go according to the place which you came from. So if you came from London up to the North Pole, you will keep London times. You are as if you are bringing London with you. You will go by the watch which is on your wrist. You won't change the times on it. And that's when you keep the Zmanim. You don't know when Nacht is there, so you keep Nacht according to London. That is the view of the Tiferes Yisrael. But there are a number of problems with it. And first of all, if somebody comes from America and another person comes from Israel, both to the Arctic Circle, and they meet up with each other, then according to Tiferes Yisrael, they'll be keeping Shabbos at different times. Because they will be coming from different time zones. And can you imagine, a man coming from America and a woman coming from Israel, and they marry each other, and they have a child, when does that child keep Shabbos? So, alright, we say the minag follows the husband, but this is not minag, this is bin, so who does one follow? Anyway, so you can get these strange situations, and the way he concludes is very much in doubt as to what the final conclusion is for certain aspects of this, but this is the problem we discussed. Do we go by the person or the place? Here he's obviously going by the person and not according to the place. So there we have again the same as with Rav Emden. There is a doubt about where we start off from, and do we then go by our solar days or clock days? Do you go by according to your watch? Or do we go according to the movements of the sun and the earth in relation to the sun, even though you don't have a proper night and day? So then we come to another view, and that is the view of the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai, he makes things a bit more simple to understand, but he is also challenged. He says, what are you doing? At midday you see where the sun is. If the sun is if you're exactly at the North Pole, that's right. If you're exactly at the North Pole, this is the problem with the Ben Ish Chai. It doesn't work, because if you're exactly at the North Pole, you don't know which time zone you're in.
Everywhere is south.
Right. So the Ben Ish Chai doesn't work when you're exactly at the North Pole. It only works when you're a bit further south in the Arctic Circle. So let's say you're in North Alaska. So he says that you look exactly south. And when the sun is exactly facing you, then that is 12 noon, or summertime, it's 1 p.m. That is south, and he says the day starts and finishes at 6 p.m. 6 p.m., 6 a.m., 6 p.m. are your defining times when it's night and day. So, there is a problem. It doesn't work when you're at the North Pole exactly, because you don't know what time zone you're in. But you're not going by your watch from London, you're going by a certain time you can identify, because the sun is exactly at south. Because when you're standing at the Arctic Circle, you still see the sun going round. Well, the earth is really going round, but it looks like the sun is going round in different parts, so different aspects, north, south, east and west. And when it's exactly at south, that, it says, is 12 noon, so it's in the middle of the day. And from there you can work out when is night and day by using the 6 p.m, 6 a.m. So that, according to him, means Shabbos will come in at 6 p.m. or a few minutes. Actually, he says Shabbos will not finish a few minutes after 6 p.m. What he does is he says that is the start of Bein Hashmoshos. That is really like Shkia. So what we do is, how much after Shkia is nightfall? So he adopts the view of the time it takes to walk 4 mil. 4 mil is 72 minutes, 4 kilometers. So he says, actually, bring Shabbos out at 7:12 p.m. So 7:12 p.m. is nightfall, because he will count then your Kedei Hiluch Dalad Mil. Yes?
I've got a solution if you're really on the North Pole, and that is that you should face your Shulayim, whether your Shulayim is the shortest distance to your Shulayim, per se. you should taste that and say, well, that is Lord Self, if you like, and then do put 6 hours each way, and then you'll be all right.
Strange, although there are certain views, they're not well known, that you go according to Jerusalem times when you can't identify when night and day is. And this we're going to discuss if we've got time when you're in space orbit, when you're keeping Shabbos and Zamanim. So that is a question, and there is a view I've come across that you keep Jerusalem times. Because Hashem gave us the Torah to be kept in Eretz Yisrael primarily. And if you can't identify night and day and you haven't got the idea of Moshe Moseichem, then you keep according to Shvai.
But we do not paskin like this.
So that was the Ben Ishchai, and we've identified the problem of what you're doing when you're exactly at the North Pole. But then there's another view, which is the Mardim Uzmanim, Rav Sternberg Shlita. He's a brother-in-law of Dinera Troy, and he writes Sefer Tshuvas Van Hogas Shalos Tshuvas, and he also wrote Mardim Uzmanim Ashalim, and he has a new novel approach to deal with this problem. He says that when you're standing wherever you are, including the North Pole, you see the sun moving round you, although it's the earth moving round, and you will see the sun sometimes higher up in the sky and sometimes lower down in the sky. Because what the sun is really trying to do is, it would, at the end of the day, dip below the horizon, dip as a skia, as it does here in London, but it doesn't in the Arctic Circle. So what are you going to do? He says, you're just going to identify where the sun is at its lowest point, even though it hasn't dipped. So that the day is 24 hours, and you will see the sun coming up in the sky and going down in the sky at different levels. And now when it's at its lowest point, that is the end of the day, and then it begins rising again. That is the start of the day. So that is how he adopts the definition of a day. So in the summer, when the sun does not set, each new halachic day begins and ends when the sun is at its lowest point in the sky, which is usually around midnight. That would be 1 a.m. if you're on summertime. So that's when Shabbos would begin on Friday, and it would end on Motzei Shabbos. Problem is, how do you do Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis? According to him, you really just got one split second of night, and that's it. And in the winter, conversely, when the sun is below the horizon, your new halachic day begins when the sun is closest to the horizon, usually around noon, which is 1 p.m. So according to him, in the winter, Shabbos will start Friday 1 p.m, a few minutes before, you'd say, 12:45, and it would end on Shabbos at 1 p.m, plus your Tosefes. Problem there is you can't eat your three meals, because two meals of your Shabbos should be eaten in daylight, in daytime, and you can't really do your Shalosh Seudos. But that is a view which is favoured by many. It's easy to follow, it makes it more simplified. There's a problem, of course, making Havdalah, though, because once in the summer you've come to midnight and your Shabbos is out, your Chiyuv of Shacharis immediately starts, because it's daylight. So you're not allowed to drink wine, you're not allowed to make Havdalah until you've done Shacharis. And then once you've done Shacharis, well, you're not going to be able to make your Bar Mi'ari Oish anymore, because it's no longer Motzei Shabbos. But you can make Havdalah, because Havdalah can be made till Tuesday. That is the view of the Mardim Uzmanim. There are some different other views, some saying maybe go to Chumrah according to as many of views as possible. If you try and identify any point in the world where it's Shabbos, from when to when. For example, in Hawaii, according to Rav Tukhachinsky, Shabbos, when we discussed our dateline, you can go across this, Shabbos is on Friday, starts Thursday night. According to the Chazon Ish, Shabbos there is on Shabbos, but according to Chazon Ish, in Japan and in New Zealand, Shabbos is on Sunday, according to the way the international dateline works in relation to the Jewish dateline. Because the Chazon Ish's dateline is 90 degrees east of Jerusalem and not 180 degrees according to Rav Tukhachinsky. So you can actually work out that at any time in the world, according to all opinions, Shabbos can extend in the world any time from Thursday. I could probably give you a calculated time on that. So if we use GMT, or what they call a universal time, Shabbos would begin at 10 p.m. Thursday GMT, and would finish Sunday 4 p.m. GMT. That between those hours of something like 66 hours, somewhere in the world it's Shabbos. So if you are an astronaut in orbit and you want to be machmir as to when you keep Shabbos, it must be sometime within that framework. Because the problem is, when you're an astronaut in orbit, you're going around the world every 90 minutes. And we all know the joke about this, Shtar Jewish astronaut, Shachris Minchamarim, Shachris Minchamarim. But that is in fact the case, that if you are circling the Earth and having a night and a day every 90 minutes, are you going to be davening the whole time so quickly? So the psak which was given to Colonel Ilan Rimon, some years ago, an Israeli astronaut, Ilan Rimon, went up into space. Sadly, it ended up in a tragedy. But beforehand, he was asking various Rabbonim about how he would keep his Jewish faith in space. And it led to some interesting debates and even articles in the Daily Telegraph and other national secular newspapers as to how the Jewish faith is kept up in space. And one view was, well, if Shabbos has its parameters between the Thursday and the Sunday, then maybe you should be keeping Shabbos at those times. Another view is, you just keep according to Jerusalem times. Then there's the Tiferes Yisrael view, which was put to him by a rabbi, saying, look, you keep Shabbos according to time where you came from. So if you took off from Cape Kennedy with your spaceship, then you keep your Shabbos in space according to the times of Cape Kennedy, or Cape Canaveral, I can't remember what. So that was the idea of keeping space. Of course, if you're going on the moon, you might simply say, well, if you don't know when to keep Shabbos when you go to places like the moon or to Mars, you just go into the local Chabad center and they'll tell you what the Minhag is. But if you are in such places, you know, there is another view which we haven't yet brought out, and that is, there is no chiyuv to keep the mitzvahs in these places. And that is, in fact, the Rav Sternberg actually writes this. He says, although you're trying to keep Shabbos, me'ikar din, you haven't really got a chiyuv there, because, you know, the pasuk says, al ha'adomo, that you're keeping the mitzvahs on the earth. So that if you're not on the earth, then you can't really keep the mitzvahs. So maybe when you're on the moon and you're on Mars, you're not chayav mitzvahs. Then there's another view which says, how can you say this? You're a Jew wherever you go. You're obviously chayav mitzvahs wherever you go. You're never free from keeping the mitzvahs. And therefore you have to keep to some identified code. And that is how the debate develops. Meir Posen, who is a Rav by whom the Adas goes for its Luach times, he holds that sunset, or nightfall shall I say, is when the sun is 8.5 degrees below the horizon. There are some communities like Monkshul, the United Synagogue, which hold that the sun only has to be 7 degrees and 5 minutes, or 7.5 degrees below the horizon. He brings in his Sefer the Rabbeinu Tam definition of the sun being 16.1 degrees below the horizon. But in the end of chapter 7 in his Sefer Omeir, he discusses the Arctic Circle issue, and he says, in his view, that if you are in a place where there's constant daylight and it turns out that day is Shabbos, then he adopts the Minchas Eloza view, the Munkat Shereba, that Shabbos is carrying on until it gets dark. But then once it is dark, he says, you change according to the rest of the world's day of the week. Which is a very novel opinion. So he's saying, it's Shabbos as long as it's daylight when you're in the Arctic Circle. But then, when it gets dark in October or November, wherever you are, then you might suddenly make your next day a Wednesday. I find this view very difficult, because it's disrupting the whole concept of a 7-day week. That we are counting to Shabbos with 7 days. 6 days you work, and on the seventh you rest. And his view is not an accepted view. And in fact, he even says himself in his Sefer that he's not writing the halacha, but he's debating it in an academic way. And he brings various viewpoints to support himself, including the Minchas Eloza. So, other questions. What do you do? We've spoken about then when Shabbos would be, and we've indicated when your Tefillos would be. Interestingly enough, there are places in the Arctic Circle which where you can buy kosher food, and Rav Haber, who writes an article on this, is a macher in the Star K organization in Baltimore, USA, and he actually writes an article to say where you can get your kosher food at the beginning of the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline at the Prudhoe Bay General Store, and that there is a food services supervisor at the US South Pole Observatory, that Star K certified products have reached the South Pole. The most northern community in the world is probably Anchorage in Alaska, but although there is no shul in Barrow, Alaska, apparently there are Jewish people stationed there. There is a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration called NOAA in Barrow, Alaska, and Barrow is within the Arctic Circle, and Jewish scientists are known to have been working there, and kosher products can be bought there. So wherever you go, it's easy to be a Jew, but it's a bit more difficult than other places where you have a definition ranging from one to another as to when Chatzos is and when the day starts and when the day finishes. When is Mishayak here?
What do they actually do then in that community? If they are religious scientists in that community?
Right. Rav Haber writes in his article that the most correct thing to do is to be choshesh according to the Ben Ish Chai to start your Shabbos at 6 p.m. rather than 12 midnight. And then you bring out your 1 a.m. midnight, and then you bring out your Shabbos at 1 a.m. midnight. So Rav Haber's view is, if you're visiting the area, bring in Shabbos at 5:45 in the afternoon on Friday, and take out your Shabbos, if you're on summertime, at 1 a.m. plus 15 or 18 minutes.
So you have 1 hour and 6.
So you'll be keeping Shabbos for 36 and a half hours. If you look at the Chabad Anchorage Alaska website, they bring in Shabbos at, I think, 11:30 p.m. or something, Friday evening. You'll remember they are outside the Arctic Circle, so they do have a sunset, even though the night is very short. Earlier, because Klagah Mincha can be calculated, so they have, I think, a 10 p.m. service Friday evening, when it's proper daylight, but they daven Mincha and Maariv. And their time for last night, which was the 19th of June, they showed Shabbos going out at 1:20 in the morning. They still have darkness, but we don't, because of Sufik Yom Sufik Laila with Bein HaShemoshes, we don't bring out Shabbos with Shkia. We only bring out Shabbos with Tzeis Kechovim, when you see three stars in the sky. But there are no three stars in the sky, because they don't have the sun going down far enough to... So although they're outside the Arctic Circle, so they have a shkia, they can still distinguish between Techeles and Lavon, so to speak, which is the definition of Mishayakir, from when you would start laying tefillin in the morning, yeah? That once you can recognize a person at Daladamus in the dark, now they've even done tests going out in the countryside, because in the city you can't do that, as to how do you define Mishayakir. Can you recognize a person's face? Obviously there are differences if you're facing west or facing east, because the sun is coming up in the east, so you might get it. But whatever it is, 72 minutes is an average guideline.
You have to keep Shabbos, right? What would happen if somebody actually flew into that zone? He went in on a Wednesday, had business up there, flew in on what is his Wednesday into that zone. Can you then fly out again? Because according to that opinion, it shudders until 6 months, 5 months later. He's going back to the place where he started.
According to the Eretz Yisrael, he goes according to where he came from.
Right.
According, if he flies into an area which, according to the Munkat Sharov, is Shabbos,
yeah.
The truth is that most Poskim don't accept the Munkat Sharov at all. And so one will ask one's own personal Rav when one goes on such an expedition. And I don't believe your Rav will tell you to go according to the Munkat Sharov. You will be marooned there for a few months if you go according to the Munkat Sharov and you're arriving on what he would call Shabbos. Yes. But nowadays, Mardim was Manim, and there are some modern Sfarim which talk about travel, which we've discussed in the past. There's the Rav Batzalov Stern from Australia who wrote a Sefer. There's Rav Harpanas who's written Yisrael Azmanim. These are recent Sfarim, and their trend is to go according to the 24-hour view. And most seem to follow Rav Sternberg's view, actually, where you just define the day according to when the sun is lowest on the horizon and then when it starts rising again. and that's the best you can do. I don't think any Rabbonim nowadays, although Rav Meir Posen seems to lean a lot according to the Munkacharov, but he wouldn't go into the Arctic Circle on for Shabbos. He would keep away.
No, I can't do those months at all. We can't do it on the full Shabbos. You can't even go on a Sunday. You can probably fly to that day. It's a 6 month Shabbos. So you couldn't fly, you could never fly
that's,
to that
that's
day.
That's correct.
If, so in the winter, probably to
if the last if the last sunset was on a Friday. Yes. If the last... So according to Munkacharov, your 6 month Shabbos or whatever, or 4 month Shabbos will only be if you entered the area on a Friday and then you experienced the last sunset of the season, and then it's Shabbos and that Shabbos sticks. But any other, if you would have, if your last sunset of the season would have been on a Wednesday, then it's Thursday according to Mulgrain, and then there will never, and then according to Munkacharov, there will never be a Shabbos for a few months. Mm-hmm. Which is going the kula the other way. You use chumra one way and it's a kula the other way.
If you go in the
Shabbos where the last sunset was on a Friday night, so it then becomes Shabbos in that zone of the X number of miles north and south. But you arrive on a Wednesday, you're flying into Shabbos, presumably, or walking into Shabbos.
You could be flying into Shabbos, but that can happen in New York as well. If you leave a plane, if you go on a plane in Australia after Havdalah, not say Shabbos, and you fly over the Pacific, so you're over here in Australia, and this is the Pacific Ocean, and you fly over to New York on your way to London, and you stop up in New York, you will probably be arriving into Shabbos again, because the international date line being somewhere along the Pacific, according to whatever view we go, Chazon Ish or Rav Tukhachinsky, you will be entering Shabbos by going over the Pacific. Then what do you do? So various Rabbonim and Paskin try not to get off the plane, you know, they're just retooling, that's fine. Once you get off the plane, then you have to keep Shabbos again and you're stuck. So you want to organise your flights from Australia that they don't leave straight after Shabbos. So it's a Shiloh which happens even if you're anywhere in the Western world, and
flying the other way around,
and you're just flying the other way around, as you would say, and it's nothing to do with the Arctic Circle. So and if conversely, if you go the other way, it's possible to lose a Shabbos if you are flying from America westwards to Australia. It's very possible you can lose a Shabbos. Say, well, I've done nothing wrong. La halacha, you should avoid avoiding a Shabbos.
All the chagim, if you're incomplete, and Omer and everything else, will be completely out of sync with.
Yes, you're right.
With the rest.
Yeah, Omer is a problem. According to him, you can't keep a Sfirat Omer in that situation,
right?
Because you can't count the days. But if you go according, to these other views,
yeah.
That's the Munkacharov. But if you go according to the Ben Ish Chai or Mosim Osmanim or of Yaakov Enden, the Tiferes Yisrael, then all of those are basically 24 hour days. It's just a question of when they start and when they finish, and then you can keep your sphere and hug it. A fascinating subject, more practical now than it has been before, and perhaps it's all simon really, that the correct place to keep the Torah properly is when you've got normal times to sunrise and sunset, and that is Eretz Yisrael. You know, there it's normal. Even here in England, we take Shabbos out last night, we come home, we make Havdalah, and it's 11:15. The Torah was intended to be kept properly in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where it's easiest to keep it. Whereas here, we are a bit of a dieved in our times, but we just have to make the best of it. But it does indicate that the best place in the world to keep the mitzvahs is where Hashem says, L'seis lachem es Eretz Kanan, li'os lachem elokim, to be for you Hashem, and that is Eretz Yisrael. Thank you very much.